The title of this podcast is 5 Helpful Ways to Support a Loved One Struggling with Illness. I have had some friends, loved ones, family members, just people I know in general who have struggled with illnesses. Some were diagnosed this year, last year, and some are struggling with chronic long-term illnesses. When you are on the outside looking in, you never know what a person is genuinely going through, such as when a diagnosis is made or when they are dealing with the pain. When you care for and love them, you just want them to feel better. You don't want to see them suffer. And in a word, sometimes you just wish their pain would disappear. There are many different ailments and diagnoses, and each has its own specific needs. For instance, when a person is suffering from an acute disease that is short-term and not life-threatening, like a cold, broken bones, or local infections, their needs are different from those suffering from a long-term chronic disease such as Alzheimer's, arthritis, asthma, and some forms of cancer and diabetes. But I will continue once I introduce myself. Hi, and welcome to SUP, which stands for Seek Understanding and Peace. My name is Katie Girl, and I'm happy you are here with me on this day today. Why seek peace? We seek peace because it gives us contentment. Peace helps us enjoy the present moment. It allows us to focus better, gives us patience, and helps improve all areas of our lives. And therefore, some choose things that will give them temporary peace, but in the end, reap devastating results like drug addiction, alcohol abuse, and unhealthy relationships. I created the ABCs of SUP, Seek Understanding and Peace, because sometimes we don't realize that our minds, bodies, and spirits are searching and seeking to lead us to a peaceful existence with ourselves and others. I will occasionally add my 2 cents in, and as promised, here we go. This week, we are on the letter I for illness. The title, 5 Helpful Ways to Support a Loved One Struggling with Illness. As I said before, an acute illness is not a life sentence usually, but I believe if it's left untreated, it can become a chronic illness, which is long term. So what is an acute disease? A few diseases occur suddenly and last for a few days. These are known as acute diseases, such as, like I said, the common cold. An acute condition can be treated with medical treatment or just on their own. Many times, acute diseases can turn chronic if they persist. An acute disease can occur throughout all body systems. For example, an asthma attack is considered an acute disease, but later could turn chronic. Strep throat, broken bones, appendicitis, influenza, pneumonia, or some acute diseases. So what is chronic disease? Chronic diseases are those that occur over a period of time and last longer, or even for a lifetime. Generally, if a disease lasts for more than 3 years, it is called chronic. Initially, the symptoms are very mild. A chronic disease progresses slowly and damages the body severely. It might sometimes be fatal. The risk factors of such diseases may be because of age, gender, unhealthy lifestyles. A chronic disease may or may not be cured by medications. It cannot be prevented by vaccines as well. Hypertension, arthritis, diabetes, and psoriasis are all chronic diseases. However, chronic diseases can be controlled by physical activity, healthy diet, giving up on smoking, controlling your alcohol consumptions. A chronic illness is very stressful. So the reason why I'm getting ready to share the difference between acute and chronic is because after that, I'm going to share different ways that you can minister to or help the people that are in your lives who are suffering from either chronic diseases and illnesses or acute illnesses. Or if you're going through, maybe this can give you a better understanding, or maybe you can put into words how you would want others to help you. You know, sometimes, you know, they'll say, or we'll say, you know, is there anything I can do? And 9 times out of 10, people will say no, because they think that they are bothering you, but they're not bothering you. If you're taking the time to ask them, may I help you? Please let me do something for you. What can I do to ease this stress on you, to ease the pain? Then I would tell them the truth, because it could be a source of comfort. It could be a source of help. It could be the difference for you getting well quicker. You just don't know. So if someone offers to help, take it. But anyway, so I'm going to talk about the difference between acute and chronic diseases. So acute diseases, these diseases are sudden. And how I remember this is I used to teach hair. And when I was teaching a class, well, let me go back. When I went to school for hair, I had this teacher who was just outstanding, because she was really good at giving you a visual. So one chapter, we have to talk about the different diseases that we could come across when we were cutting hair. And so she was belaboring the point on what was the difference between acute diseases and chronic diseases. And so she told us, if you can think of acute as, and it's spelled A-C-U-T-E, as a cute baby with a temper tantrum. So it's short and violent is how she got us to remember what acute meant. But that's really kind of like what an acute disease is. It is short, you know, sometimes very painful, and then it's gone. And that's just kind of like how a baby is, a little two-year-old is. The temper tantrum, they'll, you know, I want this, why can't I have this? And then all of a sudden they're good. So that's how I remember that. So anyway, acute diseases. So these diseases, like I said, occur suddenly. They last for a shorter period of time. They cause sudden damage to the body. The onset is sudden and often treatable. However, other underlying conditions can also affect the outcome of the disease. Typhoid, bone fracture, heart attack, the common cold, jaundice, malaria, these are all different types of acute diseases. Chronic diseases, they occur over a prolonged period. They last longer, or even for a lifetime. They cause long-term damage to the body of the person. Chronic diseases progress gradually and usually end up causing long-term damage to organs and organ systems. And in some cases, it can be fatal, such as diabetes, cancers, tuberculosis, arthritis. So what we can conclude is that chronic diseases are more dangerous than acute diseases and need proper care, attention, and research, because they affect the patient mentally as well as physically. So how do we support people with illnesses? Now, I know I said, did I say five? But I think I have more tips, more than five tips. But first, I'm going to go over this part. Illness is challenging, so knowing how to support people with illnesses can be very helpful for both of y'all. It can be helpful for the person who's trying to help and then the person who is suffering. So if you haven't experienced many of these diseases and illnesses that I've mentioned, then it's really hard to know what to do. But different illnesses can have different needs. The support needed for a broken leg is different for the support needed for heart disease. So let's talk about if a person is facing a serious or life-limiting illness. Now, an illness that threatens life or where death is expected to arise as a consequence of the illness. Serious and life-limiting illnesses are not the same, but I'm addressing them together for this article because they both require the same type of support. I will have the links on my blog. If a person is dealing with mental illness is considered acute, chronic, or severe. Trauma and grief can can arise from many causes, including a traumatic event, the death of a loved one, the diagnosis of an illness, or an accident. In addition to them needing practical needs like treatment, pain management, and caregiving, they need people to support them. So for instance, if a person is dealing with acute illness, things that can set in for them could be boredom and frustration. It can be very challenging. Generally, the pain isn't long enough for the person to get used to living with it, but because it is usually painful, let's think of a broken limb, and for a short period of time, then that is the only thing that's on their mind. And even though we're saying acute illnesses is short, it isn't for the person who's actually in pain and having to deal with it day in and day out. So the type of support should be practical for that person. You know, everyone is different, but I did find this fantastic article on 49 things to do when you are sick, in bed, and bored. So I'll just name like a couple of things, but a lot of times when people are dealing with an acute illness, they can't do a lot of stuff. And so maybe one of the things is shopping. You could help them with their shopping. They could give you a list of items and you could go purchase them. I'm going to go like back and forth. So there are things that they can do and there are things that you can do for them, but they could read a book for the purpose of learning something new, because a lot of times that kind of takes you out of, you know, where you're at right now, or takes you out of that moment, because now you're learning something new and your brain is honing in on something different. So this could be a great time to suggest to them, maybe you could get a book, or they can order books online, or, you know, they have in some states, I know they have it in a lot of states. They definitely have it here where the library will actually come to you. You can order some books online and then they will deliver the books to you. I have had people who love to do crossword puzzles or the hide and seek puzzles. And so I have just got them like a handful of different types of puzzles to work with. You could write a letter, send a card, or you could call someone that you hadn't spoken to in a while that you have been meaning to call, you know. And that's just kind of like towards the end of your recovery. You know, in the beginning, I'm sure you don't feel like talking to no one, but towards the end, when you're getting really bored and you can't really do anything yet, that's a good time to do the writing, to do the reading, to set new goals. Maybe you want to reevaluate your life, you know, kind of set some new goals for yourself, or look up some recipes, you know, pick your favorite ingredients that you like, your favorite protein, your favorite vegetables, and then look online and just find some fantastic, they're everywhere, fantastic recipes to try once you get better, or who's ever coming to visit you, or that person that's helping you, they could do it. Yes. Or you can journal. Or a lot of people do the vlogging where they will take a picture of themselves or have someone take a picture of their recovery process so that they can become an inspiration to other people or people in their family. That's a good thing you could do. What else? You could draw if you like to draw, or just do some craft. A lot of people like to crochet. You can learn how to crochet. I learned how to crochet from the library. They have many YouTube videos that can teach you how to crochet. They even have the type of videos where it slows down real slow for you so that you can really learn the stitches. You know, those are just some fantastic things to do. Or you can binge watch something. You know, if you usually watch comedies, maybe you want to watch horror. Because if you're watching something different that you're not used to watching, it kind of, once again, takes your mind out of the moment. You can watch it with a visitor or someone that you feel comfortable with to watch it with. And so those are just some things that you can do to combat boredom and our frustration as you are healing, as God is healing your body. make sure that you are comfortable as well. Have that favorite pillow, have that favorite blanket. Colors to me are very soothing and healing. And so if I have like my favorite colored comforter covering me, it feels good. The color puts me in a happy place. That helps with healing as well. At least for me, it does. Now, if you're dealing with chronic illness, that's a whole different ballgame, because acute illness says, yeah, okay, I'm in pain now. This is irritating right now, but you know, a couple months I'll be okay, kind of thing. But a chronic illness is a whole different ballgame, because there are times when I'm sure they feel disempowerment because they're always dealing with the pain or the fatigue or the symptoms that whatever this chronic illness brings along. And so one of the things that can help is just understanding what you are going through and being the best you can be. If you're going through a particular illness that says if you stretch, you know, even though you don't feel like stretching, but they're saying if you stretch, you could feel better. If you eat better, then your body will respond positively to it. A good thing is just understanding the illness that you have and being the best you could be in it as God is healing you. Another thing, like I said, is just feeling left out, because initially, when people hear it, they're like, oh, we're so sorry. What can we do? And then as life goes on, people kind of move on and kind of do their own thing. And it's not like, you know, sometimes, you know, people forget. They do. That's just the reality of it. But however, the people who are closest to you don't, because they see you every day and they are having to minister to you, help you every day. I have provided some links, beautiful inspirational stories on people who have had to deal with their chronic illness and then how they kind of rose above that. They didn't want to be identified by that illness. They wanted to have their own identity from the illness. And so I just thought it was beautiful. So what we need to understand, those of us who are looking on the outside in, we need to understand that even though, you know, yes, they've had this illness or chronic illness for a long time, they still have to deal with it daily. And so it is up to us to learn how to listen, not try and fix nothing, because, you know, physically we can't, but we can pray for them. We can be that ear for them. Some days may be harder than others. If you know that a particular time of year is harder for them than others, or a season is harder for them than others, then that is a good time to kind of up your, hey, how you doing calls, or just kind of stopping by depending on what type of relationship you have with them. Serious or life-limiting illnesses, they're not the same, of course. Now, I'm reading from an article, but the purpose is to just address them together because they require similar support. If they are struggling with these illnesses, it could be because of fear or being treated differently. And so some of the things we can do as well with this one, and it kind of sounds like the chronic, but I'm going to go ahead and read it, is we can listen and don't assume what they need or what they want. Ask. Speak to the person. Some people want to talk about their illness. Some would rather for you to just go do research and act accordingly. So you have to be guided by that person's personality. Send regular letters or texts or just words of encouragement to that person so that they know that they're not forgotten, that you still have them in your heart and in your prayers. Offering to, and this is just for anyone who's going through chronic or acute illnesses, saying I can bring food or pick you up from the hospital or collect your prescriptions. There's just a lot that goes into it. You know, if you tell them, listen, say for instance, they have to have a prescription that needs to be picked up every week. You can say, I'll do it for you. You don't have to worry about that. I will get your prescription. Just give me the information that you need and I will handle that. Or say, for instance, the library books. Maybe they don't want the, library coming to their home, but they would like for you to pick it up once they order it online. You could be that person for them. If they like a particular type of cuisine, then you could say, you know what, we can do Chinese on Tuesdays. You know, whatever, you know, that will put a smile on that person's face to make them feel better. Now, I've not had a chronic illness, thank God. But I've had acute ones and I've had recovery from surgeries. And I find that I like to just turn into myself. Meaning I like to be by myself, but I like to know that if I need something that I can just, you know, ring my little bell or call or what have you to get some help. And then as I get healthier or as I get stronger, then I kind of come out of it, and then I'm willing to talk a little bit. But if I'm dealing with something, you know, I'm dealing with it. I'm turned in. I'm either praying or just believing God for my healing and just kind of taking it day by day, minute by minute, moment by moment. But everyone is different, and you have to find out whoever God has placed in your life. You have to find out what their likes and dislikes are. So they have what's called a healing boxes. I had never heard of them, but I understand the concept because I've done it, and I'll provide the link for it. But I'm going to go ahead and share what they have, and then I'll share some things that I've done in the past. But you can create a box or a basket and just have their favorite reading material in it. I remember when Dad wasn't feeling well, but then as he got better, what I did was I went to the store and got six different newspapers from around the country and presented that to him. And you thought I gave him a box full of chocolate. He enjoyed it, and he read it, crossed his little legs, and was just reading the newspaper. So that was a win-win. But some people like maybe the adult coloring books. When I'm not feeling well, like I said, I turn to teas. I don't usually like teas, but I like them when I get sick or when I'm not feeling well. I'll do teas. One time, someone was going into surgery, having a very serious surgery. I knew that they hated for their feet to be cold, so I went and got different cute little socks in their favorite color so that when they came out of surgery, they could put them on, and every time they look down, they can see their little feet and think of me. Flowers for some, balloons for some. It just kind of depends on the person, and it can be as expensive and as cheap as you want it to be, but it is always the thought that counts. Now, what I found out also is that a lot of people's lips get dry, so you could just give them an array of lip balms, or you can create a playlist with their favorite music. You could cook them their favorite dishes, just cook enough of it, maybe freeze portions of it, or cook enough for the entire family. I've done gift cards to grocery stores, to different restaurants, and so it just depends on the need of that person, but you'd be surprised. You can come in there with one flower, one balloon, and it will brighten up their day. So be guided, and I believe that this is it. So I want to share some scriptures with you, and these are healing scriptures. First one says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." This is Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." This is Isaiah 53:5, and you know we're talking about Jesus. And then my last one says, "Heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you." Luke chapter 10, verse 9. Remember, depending upon the illnesses, they have different needs. The support of a person with a broken leg is different from a person with heart disease. So be led by the Holy Spirit. And with that, I will close. Don't forget, I will have links and scriptures and quotes on my blog. And as always, thank you for joining me on this day today. Grace and peace, and be safe.